Just back to the very big blue heart here on my right-hand side. Over the past 5 weeks, we've been talking on and sharing and preaching on this theme about known for our love, or where is the love? And as if you were here on every Sunday, you would have seen that there was a part, one of the five parts, or 20% of it filled with a topic. Those topics had names: love is to go, love is to know, love was to speak and to share. And this morning we will share a little bit on love is to care. So I trust and I believe, and I asked Afrikaans guys in the first church service if there were maybe even testimonies where you can testify about hopefully a work that God is doing in our midst, a work that the Holy Spirit is doing in our midst. Because this morning I want to speak to all the imperfect people, all the perfect people. You should please sit in the mother's room. But for the rest of us, we know, you know, that God is still doing in our works, a work in our hearts. So if you've missed one of the sermons, they, in a sense, they do follow on one another. So please do make a little bit of effort. You'll see in the weekly, there's always a link where you can listen to the audio or the visual. You can watch, download it from Shofar TV online. And this is a theme that I believe God is holding before us as a bigger church group or a part of the church. Last year at our Convergence Conference, we spoke about where is the love, you know, and how appropriate it is for the church to talk through these things and ask ourselves, where do we stand in terms of love? Now, I believe you will agree with me that, you know, when we were still walking in darkness, as Paul writes, when we were still in flesh and we didn't know Jesus Christ, you know, I believe we can try and change ourselves and we can read books and go to seminars, but only on the other side of the cross, only on the other side of salvation, there's hope for us to become more like Jesus Christ. In our own strength, before we know the Lord Jesus, I guess we can try and change, but it's not gonna have a lot of effect. But only when we come to Christ, you know, he gives us a new heart. And it was such a beautiful prophecy in Ezekiel 36, verse 26, where it was, and I just want to read it to you, where the Lord says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." A heart that can feel, a heart that can get hurt, a heart that can love. Because that old heart of stone, the carnal heart, can't really change that much. But when we receive the heart of Jesus Christ, when he makes us new, you know, when we come to Christ and we come to salvation, the Lord doesn't, figuratively speaking, he doesn't put the heart of salvation next to the old heart. He gives us a new heart. And in that new heart, the potter can change this clay. He can mold us and he can mend us and he can do a work in our hearts where we will be able as a church or believers to testify how the Lord has changed us. Because if we come to Christ into salvation and nothing changes, well, I doubt anything that anyone really came to Christ. But after we receive this new heart, there's hope for us to become more like Christ and to love. And in these five aspects or areas, we spoke about what love practically looks like. Hopefully you received a bookmark, something just explaining what's happening in church and how you can take part of these different aspects. Okay, we will also hand out, I believe, a little magnet that you can put on your car or your refrigerator or wherever you want to, just to remind you what does love look like and how we need to grow. Because if we talk about love is to care this morning, I mean, caring comes a bit more natural for some of us, but going maybe is a bit more natural for other guys. But we can't just say, I'm going to be a goer or a speaker, but not a carer. There's a pastoral heart, a heart that cares, that needs to be behind everything in ministry. If it's not love motivated, what motivates us then? If it's only numbers or anything like that, we totally get it wrong. Now, you know, there's scripture, and I believe in our own quiet time, we all work through scripture and we do our devotional studies. And sometimes I think there's the danger that we can read through something that is really big and miss the bigness of it, if I can use it like that. During the week, I just read once again the book of Revelation where God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I mean, most of you have read it probably, but if we sit still, and it helps a little bit if you sit somewhere on a hill or in the desert and you can look at the stars and just see at the expanse of the creation, how big God must be. And no matter if you read it in Afrikaans or English or in Greek or another language, we're not going to have handles on how big God is when he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and that he's got time in his hand in many ways. I believe there's the danger sometimes that we can read through familiar scriptures without checking that, are we in line with the word? And one of those, a very familiar one that I believe most of you know, I want to share it this morning, but maybe we can use it as a measuring rod or a measuring instrument or a gauge, you know, to see what does it say about my life and about your life. And that's from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 7. I believe the church are quite familiar with that. But when we talk about love this morning, how can I not read this scripture? Okay? Paul writes here and he says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So he makes it so clear that he can say, you can prophesy, and you can give, and you can care, and you can do a lot of things. But this main thing is love. And if love is absent, what does the church look like? What does the believer look like? What does the gospel look like? Because the gospel, God's heart is a heart of love, that he could be reconciled with his people. And whenever, whatever we do in church or in life, it's so important that we can, you know, people can sense when we are just doing something. You know, sometimes the kids at home, you know, they had a little small turf war or a fight about something, and I say to the one, now say sorry to your brother or sister, or give them a hug, and it's like, you know, no, I can see you're not meaning that. And the other person can see it as well. But on the opposite side, when one of my children or people or the church, if you do something, an act, and someone can sense that love is at the core of this, it makes such a difference, doesn't it? It blesses us. We as humans can pick it up. We know when someone just gives something to you or say something to you. But we know and we recognize when there's a heart of love behind it. And here Paul just makes it clear. He says, listen, especially you, the church, you must smell like love and look like love and act like love. You should be love. Otherwise, you can prophesy and speak in languages and tongues and whatever, and it's useless. It's empty. It's devoid of love. Love should be the center. And you know, here we can be honest with ourselves. He goes on in verse 4 and he explains what love looked like. Now, as I said, I believe that most of us are familiar with the scripture. We read it and we know it and we sing songs about it since our childhood. But where do we stand if we measure ourselves against what love looks like? Let's read from verse 4. Paul says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Church, if we have to be honest, we get it wrong from time to time. Definitely. We have to grow so much in it. We have to grow so much that at all times, the church and the world and everyone around us in our families can sense the love, can see what love looks like. Okay? Jesus was obviously the perfect example in showing what love looked like. You know, and there's a lot of parallels I believe we can draw about between parenting and shepherding. A lot of those look very similar. When we raise children, or when we make disciples. And there's a time to nurture, there's a time to care, there's a time to, I believe if I'm interpreting, thank you ladies, I need you so much. This young man was standing here, where's Karin? And I believe he was just showing his mom that his feet is bleeding, something happened. You know, he wants his mom to see. I don't know where Karin is. Sham, I thought I'm going to give the boy a hug, and I know there's something wrong. But every parent now, it's like, mom, look, there's blood. I got hurt. You singing now in the worship, but I need you now. We know that interaction. There's that time where a father or a mother just have to nurture and to care and to love. But there's also time where we need to discipline. There's also times where some of us are better at tough love. Some of us are better at caring or nurturing. But both are important. We cannot just raise our children on lots of love without discipline. There's times I'm thankful in my own life for a father that gave me discipline at the right times. I'm thankful for, in this past 15 years, for brothers in Christ that at certain stages spoke into my life. I am passionate about caring because I have been cared for. I was a follow-up 15 years ago in church. A young person walking into church, not really knowing the Lord, and I got discipled, and people looked after me. And that matters. You know, we can discern. You know, Carol, you know our friend Jankor. I remember there at the old foundation, two of the time, he was standing there with a poker face and a towel. And I know it was time to get baptized. You know, his face said it all. Okay? But those things are precious. You know, someone thought a little bit or heard from the Lord or something that today is your day. Today I'm looking after you. Today there's something that needs to be done in your life. And as I say, you know, you can go and read in Hebrews 12, verse 5 to 7, the Lord says, you know, those that He loves, He disciplines as well. And it's so important that in our day and age where we live, and we always need to want to be politically correct, and there's so many secular humanism, and through every window they want to come in, and we just need to not step on someone's toes, you know. But it's so important that I can say, Willibald, how are you today? And if you say, you know, it's going bad, and I can say, because maybe it's because you sinned. Maybe it's because you did something wrong. And hear my heart, it's not about judging and stuff. It's caring. And sometimes you need to be very honest with someone for that person to grow closer to the Lord. We see this picture of Jesus, or of basically of God's Father heart. And Scripture talks a lot about Jesus as the shepherd. And we see here in Isaiah verse 40, verse 11, it says, He will feed His flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in His arms, holding them close to His heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. And that's just a prophetic picture, basically, of Jesus, the chief shepherd. You know, we can go at any moment or any time. We can go with the things in our hearts, our dreams, our worries, our concerns, and we can go to the Lord with that. Amen? We can. He's inviting us. We will never shock God. We can say to Him, God, I'm tired, or I'm frustrated, or I'm angry. We can take our emotions to Him. We can take our burdens to Him and say, Lord, give me grace. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, forgive me, or whatever the case might be. We know the very familiar Psalm 23. You probably all know it as quite well, where it's just David writing. David was a man who he knew God. You know, he was anointed by God. And he says here in Psalm 23, verse 1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Just this beautiful picture that I believe many of us had from our childhood, that there's a part of God that we can see God isn't this angry man with a stick in His hand, just wanting to punish the world or take away the rain or whatever it might be. That God is a Father and that He loves, and that He wants to take us to a place of quietness, a place of rest, of green pastures, that just help us to understand what His heart is for us. It's almost like when we nurture a young baby and we just softly, gently put that baby in its cot and put the little kombersie just there and walk out softly. You just want this little person to sleep and be at rest. And that's a part of God's heart for us, definitely. And I want to encourage you to go and read John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18 at home. Maybe I'm not going to read all of it. It's a little bit too much. There's just a few aspects from it that I want us to look at. Because when we talk about nurturing and caring, it's not something just there for a pastor or an elder or a small group facilitator. It's God's heart is that we look after each other, that we will have that heart of caring for one another. Now, just the context of shepherds in the time of Jesus, and especially, and Wolf, you have to forgive me, I'm not stepping on toes, I'm in his car boere for ochend, you know. But in the context of our commercial sheep farms, you know, and you can help me if I'm wrong, but I can speak of my own family, you know, you have to move sheep from one camp to another and rotate and manage your grass and those type of the resources that you have. But many times, you know, sheep are driven. You know, they are the sheepdog is helping and the guys are whistling and kicking up a bit of sand. And sometimes, am I still okay? Sometimes, you know, they throw a stick or two just to get them moving from one position to another, one location to another. Okay. But in those days, the shepherd walked with his flock. I think they probably had just more time. Maybe that was it. I don't know. But it was obviously a cultural thing where the shepherd, Scripture says, and Jesus says, my sheep will know my voice. And the shepherd spent a lot of time with his flock. They knew him. You were to walk and they were to walk with him. Okay? So contextually, and we do things a little bit different. So sometimes our picture of the shepherding Jesus is talking about needs just a little bit of adjustment. But here, Jesus says, this, in verse 3, he says, you know, the gatekeeper opens and then the sheep hear his voice. I believe it's so important. There's always in Scripture this distinction between sheep and the goats. And Jesus are asking us this morning as well, are we following him? Do we know what his voice sounds like? Church, it's so fundamental that we can sense where the Holy Spirit are guiding us, that we can sense what he's saying to us in our own lives. It's not always just as in the book of Revelation, pictures and all of that. Sometimes it will be just a small prompt in your heart to go and give someone a hug. Maybe to sow something or to care for someone, you know, just to sense it when the Lord is speaking to us. It goes on here in verse 10, and it says, the thief come only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and may have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And there's a big key for us as believers. There's a big key for us as the church. Jesus came not to just rule over his people, but he came to shepherd them. When it says he came to lay down his life for the sheep, it comes at a price for me and for you to look away from our busy lives and to, in a sense, to count the cost and say, Lord, I'm willing to care. We had the athletics at the school with my children. Friday night, we got home quite late. And yesterday, it was the whole day sun and Oros and Sprite and what all chips. And it was running around and singing and all those things. And when I got home, someone phoned me. And after an hour and a few minutes later, he needed some counseling. And I just said, I will count the cost at that moment. And I will speak to him and I will help him. But there's a cost to count. There's a choice that we need to make. You see, as we grow in our loving, as we grow in it, we will know that it comes at a cost. Every person that is married will know there's times where we will not have our way. That the things that is maybe at this moment the most important to me or what I want is not necessarily what is best for my family or best for my wife. Sometimes we need to make this compromise and say, it's okay, I really want to do this right now, but I can see what is important to you. and I will let it go. I will, in a sense, sow my own desire or what I want, and I will go with what you want, with what you want to do, or with what you want to eat, or where you want to go to for holiday. And that comes at a price. Jesus laid his life down for his sheep, that none of them will go to waste, that none of them will get lost, in a sense. It goes on and it talks about the hired hand, which is not the shepherd. And I went and I read a little bit about it. They say the hired hand was you know, someone obviously just, it wasn't the shepherd, it was something just looking after the sheep. And first it said that, you know, when animals or wild animals came and one of the sheep were lost or killed, you know, the hired hand wasn't accountable. And then the scholars and the historians says to us that later the Jews changed it a little bit, and they said if there were one wolf to come and to attack the sheep, you know, the hired hand should stand and he should protect the sheep against that one wolf, for instance. But if it were two or more, he didn't have to do it. He wasn't accountable. Now, obviously, they were very into detail in the law. But basically, when it was a pack of wolves, basically it was too dangerous maybe for the hired hand to look after the sheep. But if you are the shepherd, if you are the owner, what do you do? What did David do? He said, no, wolf or lion or whatever, this is my sheep. I'm protecting them. You know, and on a serious note, my heart breaks. And I trust that God will give some of those men a medal. When I read in the newspapers these days, especially in South Africa, so often where a father got shot trying to protect his children at home. I thought, I just want to say in my heart, God, please give that father a medal. Because that's the heart of a father. That's the heart of a shepherd. Protecting at any cost the flock, isn't it? David didn't just walk away. Jesus didn't just walk away, and we shouldn't. You know, a few years ago, me and a good friend of mine, we had the privilege of to go hunting in the Kommers Hoogland and to shoot a zebra. I hope you're not against hunting in that sense. Please forgive me. But nevertheless, we had this privilege to bring back ons zebra velletjie. Now, that thing is very special to me. It's there in my office. Now, in our family, there was a few fights already about that thing because I went through a lot of effort to hunt it and to it was prepared and all of that, and now it's there. Now I don't see it as a doormat. I see it more in the line of a trophy of something. So, and now you have to love me or don't, but please don't just walk over my zebra fell. It's really important to me. It's special to me. Now my dad says to me, Carl, do you know how tough zebras are there in the wild, you know? But I said to him, Dad, but this thing is dead now. You see, the hair won't grow back. So please don't walk over it. So we've got a bit of a thing about this thing. So usually when some people come and visit me, I just took it to another room just to keep the peace because I'm all for love, you know. But you see, that thing is important to me for various reasons. It costed me something. And I'm one of those guys that if stuff is dear to me, I know it's worldly stuff, but I really want to be a good steward and I really want to care for that. Whether it's a car or something else, you need to care for that. It's important to me because it costed me something. Do you know what is the price that Jesus paid for me and for you? Do you know what's the price? How much more important it will be to look after the flock, to look after each other, not a stupid thing like a zebra skin or anything else in life. Those things might be important to us. But how much more important is every one of us to God? How much more does it weigh that God says, I don't want any of you, no one in this world. God, Scripture says it's God's heart and desire that no one will go to waste, that no one will get lost, that all people will come to salvation and to the knowledge of the truth. We see God's heart very clearly here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12 to 14. I'll read it to you. And this parable basically explains when a believer gets lost, and God wants to bring that sheep in that sense back. You can go and read and make sure when you read Luke chapter 15, it also starts with there was a man with 100 sheep. But that refers to an unbeliever. God has, God's father heart is also to bring the unbelievers into his flock. So he started off with the Jews, but it was also for the Gentiles, for me and for you. God wants to bring all, he talks about, he's got other sheep as well here in John chapter 10. Sheep that he also wants to bring close to his heart. But here in Matthew 18, it specifically refers to a believer that went astray. And I had to look at three different translations. And let me first start off by reading it to you. Matthew 18, verse 12. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? Now, church, just before I continue reading, I always believe, and I believe that whenever there's something in Scripture, God put it there for a reason. He wants us to see something about himself, something that we should understand. And just as with 1 Corinthians and that love chapter, as it called, that we should understand what does love look like practically, here we are also talking about it. But here's something about the Father's heart, something that we shouldn't just say yes to, but ask, God, how does it apply to me? Should I or shouldn't I respond to this? Verse 12, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do? It's Jesus speaking. Won't he leave the 99 others on the hill and go out to search for the one that is lost? If he finds it, I tell you the truth, he will rejoice over it more than over the 99 that didn't wander away. In the same way, it is not my heavenly Father's will that even one of these little ones should perish. So we see the implication here is what? That sheep can wander away. That sheep can get lost. Different translations, the New Living Translation says they wander away. The ESV Bible says that, talking about going astray, and the Amplified talks about getting lost. Now the context here is Jesus talking about believers. In Luke chapter 15, he's talking about unbelievers that he wants to bring close. And he says basically here, if a man has got 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost. How does sheep get lost? We have a free will, okay? So we wander off. Is it possible or not? If you've been in church long enough, definitely it is. We can all grow cold in our hearts. Our prayer lives can be stagnant or nothing happen, and our Bibles can gather dust. Our hearts can turn cold. We could get hurt or offended. There's a lot of stuff that happen. And I'm very aware of that because I'm part of the church as well. I've also been on the receiving end of discipline, but from a place of love, of someone saying to me, but you can't say this or do that or think like this. Sometimes we just need that correction, and we can know when it's from love. But here it's so important that we see that sheep do wander off. That's why we have fences on our farms, I guess, okay, that they won't just get lost, to protect them. The implication is if sheep do get lost and they wander off, what role do we have to play? Scripture says in Matthew chapter 5 verse 48, it says, but you, and listen to this, but you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And the implication is that we should grow to be in every aspect of our lives like God. We will never be God, but we should grow. Sanctification, we should, discipleship, we should grow to become like God. Now, if it's the Father's heart that none of the sheep get lost, it should be our hearts as well. And that's going to take a choice from our side. God has got this heart that no one, not the smallest or the oldest, the biggest, or that none of the sheep will go astray. Because Jesus know, the shepherd know, whenever the sheep goes astray or walks away, there's dangers. There's wolves. There's stuff that can be happened. When you are there with the other sheep and the gate is shut, if we can use the Old Testament language, then we are safe. When we are close to the flock, we are safe. But when any sheep wanders away, there's that danger of isolation. Scripture says, and you know, 1 Peter 5 verse 8, that the enemy or the devil walks around like a hungry lion, seeing whom he can devour. And if you don't think there's a devil around, well, I don't know. Basically, you can just look at the casualties in church over the years and centuries and in our midst, etc. But it's so important that we see the Father's heart here this morning regarding caring. regarding caring, that no one will go get lost, that we will be vigilant. I want to read to you from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by sin, you are godly, should gently and humbly help that person right onto the back, right back onto the right path. We should bring that person in love. That is why a true shepherd will always look around and see, you know, the sheep at names. You know, a farmer, if you look at your bulls or your rams, you will quickly see if one of them that is worth a lot is missing. But not just that, if any one of this that is missing. If you're a small group facilitator at intercession, there should be something in our makeup that will say, but I've seen that person a long time ago. I haven't seen that person, whether it's in church or small group or the men's camp or wherever it might be. Is that sheep still okay? And maybe we are just away for work or school or tours or stuff. That is perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with that. But sometimes sheep do go astray. And we should have that shepherd's heart just as Jesus had. Why? Because every person is worth so much to the Father. And his heart is that none of them will get hurt or get lost in any way. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13 says, "You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God." Amen. That's our heart. That's our place of brotherly love. And to say to each other, "I'll make a phone call. I'll pay a visit. I'll drink a coffee." Yes, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time to go and see if the other sheep is okay. Yes, there's shepherds appointed. But all of us are like small shepherds that should look after the flock. And church, I want to come back to this whole theme of where is the love. Whether it's about to go or to know or to speak or to testify, to share the gospel or to learn more about the word of God. If you want to know what my heart or the punchline this morning is, I want to say to you, you must decide. You must decide. None of us just come to Christ, go to bed, and somewhere in the middle of the night, we get totally sanctified. There's a part that God plays, but there's a part that we play as well. There's a choice that we need to make. If we want to know, if we want to grow in knowing the Lord, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you worship time. It's going to cost you prayer time. It's going to cost you time maybe attending church and spending time with more mature believers, learning what they already know, maybe a Bible school or whatever, a small short course or reading a book, getting a study Bible or a commentary. Those are the investments we need to make to grow. If you want to share the gospel, you need to be equipped. And it's maybe going to cost you a dying to yourself moment of sharing the good news, of feeling, but God, I'm just so not up to it. But God, my heart is beating faster, and I know I need to pray for this person, and then maybe share the good news with that person. It's going to cost us something, okay? If we want to grow in these aspects and become more like Christ, I can tell you this morning, it's not just going to happen in your sleep. You're going to have to make a decision and say, "Lord, caring maybe comes quite natural to me, but going doesn't. Lord, how will I grow in this?" And that's why we handed out this little bookmarks over the last five weeks and said to you, this is where you can grow in knowing. This is where you can grow in caring. This is where you can grow in speaking or in whatever one of those five it can be. It's still relatively early in the year. We can still go and say, "Lord, I will have a look tonight or tomorrow morning in my quiet time at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I will look at this." Because we can use it in so many places in church, counseling. If there's a husband and a wife and we need to sit each other down and say, "But why do you fight?" Go and read those things. Oh, is the fruits of that love, practically speaking, do we see it? The world needs to see it so desperately. If we talk about loving and caring this morning, I believe Scripture says right there from Jeremiah, basically where he says we receive a new heart and a new spirit, and then we grow to become like Christ. I believe the more we fall in love with Christ, the more we become and desire to be like Christ, the more we say, Lord, fill us with your spirit, the more love we will have, the more love we will have, the more we will care about Jesus' people, the more we will care about the flock inside the church, but also, as Jesus says, I've got other sheep, sheep that still need to come to the flock, sheep that need to come into the kraal, sheep that need to come, the little ones, the vulnerable ones. The more we care, the more we will see, the world will see that we have this love in us, because it doesn't come natural. The man that what God calls us to be, and as we grow as disciples, it doesn't just come natural. It comes at a cost. I tell you that. Amen. We read in John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35. We read it clearly. It says there, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Did you hear what Scripture says? A new commandment. It's old, not a joke, but an old thing, not a suggestion. A commandment, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Amplified Bible, it's the second one there. It says it a little bit differently. I'm just going to read verse 35. It says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. That's that heart of caring. That's that heart of walking the extra mile and to saying, but listen, it's not just about loving, but an unselfish concern. Is my wife okay? Is my kids okay? I believe every godly father, every father even, I mean, even in the animal kingdom, you don't walk if there's a herd of elephant and there's a mom with a calf. You don't just walk up to that little one and pat the small calf. We're going to read about you in the newspaper. If you need Tosha pans and there's lion and a lioness with small little lion cubs, you don't just walk up there and say, Mom, lion, can I just stroke this little cute lion? You might be dead, because there's something that God even put in the animal kingdom to look after the small ones. Isn't it like that? Look after the weak and the vulnerable. There's many aspects, there's many examples, even in the animal kingdom, where you can't just walk up to mom with the little ones. You're going to get killed or hurt or sting or bitten or devoured or something like that. The price that Jesus paid for my life and yours are so exponentially bigger. And here he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you don't only love each other, but that you will have an unselfish concern, that you will care for one another. And I want to tell you, if we end off this morning and we talk about loving is caring, if we say love is to care, the pastoral heart, the shepherd's heart, I want to tell you, it's going to cost you something. If you just go through life and you don't care about anything, it's not going to cost you a lot. But to make that phone call to a friend, a uncle, a grandfather, someone in your street, and to say, how are you doing? Carol, are you okay? How is your heart? Can I give you a hug? Maybe everything is fine, but Willibald, maybe I should just give you a call and say, how are you doing? It's going to cost you, but it's not an unhealthy cost. It's something that we grow in. The more we become like Christ, the more we will say on a Saturday afternoon, it's okay. I will sow some of my time, and I will care. I will care for someone. I will care. I want to end off with 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 from the New Living Translation. It says, so, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. And maybe you're at the place in your life where you say, God, I've got only 10% of your heart. God, I've got only maybe a little bit at this stage. But God, I want to give that. Maybe you're at the place where you say, I want to give you 50%. Lord, just change me. Or God, I want to give everything. Lord, let you be the potter and I'll be the clay. Form me and make me, transform me into your image. that I can be more like Christ. And in this sense, this morning, in this context, be a shepherd. Have a pastoral heart, a heart that cares. Because Scripture here says, nothing that we do for the Lord, even a hug here, a telephone call there, a SMS, a follow-up, it matters to God because you matter to God and I matter to God. And it's the Father's heart that none of the sheep will be led astray, that none of the sheep will be hurt or devoured or anything like that. Amen. Let us close our eyes and pray this morning. Oh Lord, as a church, we want to come before you and we want to ask, Lord, that your grace will be enough for us, Lord God. Father, that we will never be too busy or anything like that to care after our loved ones, our marriages, our children or grandchildren. Father, that we will never be too busy, Lord God, to care after the flock, Lord God. That we will, yes, Lord God, that we will, that you'll give us your heart, your pastoral heart, the shepherd's heart, Lord, to go and look after or go and seek that one that even if it just seems that one is going astray. And that with all your love and compassion, we will walk and go and look for that one, not moaning or grumbling, but with joy in our hearts. Because we know as a church and the church, Lord, that how much joy it gives us when a small one, a prodigal son comes back. We see in that picture of the prodigal son how the father rejoices and run to that sheep, to that person, to that son, when the lost one comes back to the father. Oh Lord, will we ever be able in this life to know how much it costed you to sacrifice your love, your life, from a place of love and obedience, that we can be reconciled to the Father, that we can be redeemed and justified, that the whole process of discipleship and sanctification, where we become more like Christ. Lord, you change that core disposition in our hearts. You give us new hearts and a new spirit. You give us the ability to become and to look like Christ. Lord, when we looked at that video this morning, that clip about Stephen Lungu at the men's camp there where we will speak, Lord, how you changed an angry, hurt young man into a pastor, into a shepherd. It's only, Lord, your Spirit and Jesus Christ that changes us after you save us. But Lord, then you also extend a hand to your church and say, look after my sheep, feed them, care for them. Oh Lord, that we will never have an attitude and say, well, this one or that one doesn't matter. Lord, everyone matters. That's why in Matthew 18, Luke 15, whether it's someone in church or someone that's still there in the world, everyone matters to you. Oh Lord, that you corporately as a church give us this heart to care and to nurture, sometimes even to discipline, but it will be from a place of love. Let 1 Corinthians chapter 13, Lord, that we will look like it and smell like it and act like it. Where Paul describes what love looks like, that will be, that we in our lives will be in line with that, Lord. As we are here this morning, if you are here and maybe you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about salvation or coming to Christ or being born again or becoming a believer, if you are here this morning and you just want to say yes to the Lord, or you want to come closer to the Lord, or say, Father, I've got things that I know isn't right in my life. There's stuff that's standing between you and me. It's the heart of the church. It's our heart to pray with you, to say, come into the gate. The gate is Jesus Christ. Come to the Lord. He's waiting there for you. He was waiting there for me. And he wants to save you. He wants to change your life. You know, church, many times it's not that we are really just following the devil, but sometimes it's just we are following ourselves and we don't hear the Lord's voice. Jesus says, my sheep will hear my voice. So I just want to, there's a call this morning. If you just feel that you've that you've drifted and you're maybe far from the Lord, I just want to say to you, just as with the prodigal son, the father stands there. He's ready. He's waiting for you. If you are hurt, or maybe for whatever reason you feel that you're a bit far from God, don't just leave and stay at that place. It's the Father's heart that you are close to Him. Why? Because He loves you so much. So if there's anyone here this morning, you feel maybe you just need prayer. Maybe it's something totally different. We as the church just want to show the love that Christ has put in our hearts by serving. Jesus didn't come to just have a sword in His hand. He came to wash feet. He served. He gave His life. That changes everything. That is why we can serve and we can love. If you are here this morning, and your heart, maybe there's turmoil or frustration or anything, I want to extend a hand and say, we would love to pray with you.